Good afternoon once again, church. Our God is good and all the time. We have been this summer just meditating and reflecting on the theme of suffering and the sovereignty of God. And we are going through some psalms that reflects and speaks about the struggles that we might have when we face difficult situations in life. 2 weeks ago, we have started the meditation on Psalm 53, and we are continuing this afternoon in the second part of our meditation of the Psalm of Asaph, and how God has changed his life from a person that was complaining because he was envying the wicked to a person completely changed in and through anguish and suffering to a person that worshiped and adored the Lord. I will invite you to stand as we read Psalm 73 this afternoon from verses 1 to verses 24, but our meditation will focus mainly in verse 16 to verse 24 this afternoon. Will you stand as we read God's word together? Psalm 73. A psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of the mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue strike through earth. Therefore, his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said I will speak thus, I will have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors, like a dream when one awakes, O Lord. When you rouse yourself, you despise them as pamphlets. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant, I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Thus says the word of God. You may be seated. Father, once again, we pray for your help this afternoon, for me to be able to communicate your word in a clear way, and that your spirit will help us to receive your word, to be shaped and transformed by your word, so that Jesus Christ may be glorified in our midst. We are weak, Lord, but in our weakness, Lord, you are strong. Therefore, we pray, show yourself strong unto us this afternoon. We beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, as we said, we start meditating this psalm, and we see the struggle that Asaph had to believe in the goodness of the Lord. And he gives us the reason why in verse 3. He actually, at the end of a journey of anguish and suffering, he had come to the conclusion that truly God is good to Israel and to those who are pure in heart. Verses 1. But then, in an open confession of the struggle that he had to reach this conclusion, he said in verse 2, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. Why? Verse 3 answers, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Asaph put his eyes on the world around him, and from verses 4 to verses 12, he is now describing who or what the prosperity that he saw in the wicked was all about. And in verse 13, he concludes on his assessment that it was in vain for him to be kept, or for him to keep his heart clean and washed his hands in innocence. Why? Because he saw the prosperity of the wicked, and then he saw his life in trouble and in anguish. And today, as we proceed, we will now see that for Asaph to come from this complaining and from this person, from this believer that doesn't understand God's dealings in his life, for him to understand even the perspective of his suffering, he needs a foothold, something that he will step in order for him to be able to confront and to deal with the suffering and anguish and the conflict that was inside of him. And I want to suggest to you, according to this passage, that this foothold that Asaph have gained in this suffering journey was God's eternal perspective of the events that he was facing, and also the end result of the wicked, as we will see this afternoon. And my prayer is that in the same way that Asaph, God in his grace opened his eyes for him to see the bigger reality of life in the vision point of God, meaning from the eternal perspective, we also may find the foothold in our Lord Jesus Christ, and in and through the sufferings time that we may be facing. And all this for the sake of the glorious reality that God has prepared for us, his children, that one day we'll sit with him in his presence forevermore. So the question that we have then, this is how? How did Asaph gain this eternal perspective, God's eternal perspective, in the times of suffering that he was living? And this leads me to our first point this afternoon, that Asaph, did gain the perspective of eternal, or God's eternal perspective, in and through worship. In and through worship. We see this in verses 16 and 17 in our passage this afternoon. You see in verse 16, Asaph is telling us that when he tried to understand his suffering, it seemed to him a very difficult task. And he was right. He was right because it is difficult for someone that is suffering to understand what is going on. The Bible is clear, brothers and sisters, that this inner conflict of Asaph was made worse by him trying to figure out or to make sense of his problem in himself. But then he says something in verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Until I went to the sanctuary of God. Brothers and sisters, life is too difficult for us to try to understand by ourselves. There are things that happen to us that it is difficult for us to make sense in us only. That's why we need God to open our eyes to the bigger reality that is out there in Him when we come into His presence to understand. And this was the heart of Asaph. Asaph decided that let me go to the sanctuary of my God. And when he did that, he then discerned the end of the wicked that he was envying that brought that suffering to himself. Brothers and sisters, coming to the presence of our God is one of the greatest decisions we can make when we are dealing with suffering. Asaph didn't understand what was going on in his heart. But when he came and worshiped the Lord, when the reality of who God is was brought to him by God himself as he was worshiping him, brothers and sisters, he says that I have understand. I came to discern what is the end of the wicked. You see, Asaph was thinking, his thinking had to be made right. God had to correct his way of thinking. If you remember what we have said last time, is that we as a human being, we are spiritual being and we are not neutral. We are always being shaped by the things we listen, by the things we hear, by the things we see, our mind and our way of thinking are being shaped. And the problem of Asaph was that he was concluding who God is from the information he was receiving from the world. He puts his eyes on the wicked. And because of that, the problem starts in his heart. But this time, he decided to shift his eyes from the wicked to the Lord in attitude of worship. And when he did that, he now started having the right understanding and the discernment of what was going on over there with the wicked. Brothers and sisters, this is an invitation that we have this afternoon for us to continually change and shift our attention from the things of this world to our Lord. This is what will give us the foothold we need to stand firm in the times of suffering. And this is what Asaph did. Therefore, when we come to the house of the Lord, We need to come with our heart full of expectation to listen to him. We need to come with our mind not divided for us to listen from the Lord. Because when this happens, his message, his presence will move or will change our way of thinking, and we will see things even in this world as they really are. Brothers and sisters, let us never forget that the message of the Bible, it's always addressing our mind at the beginning. You see, when in ESV we say that he has discerned the end of the wicked, in another ways, he gained an understanding of the end of that wicked that in the presence look prosperous. Brothers and sisters, the gospel does not merely give us an experience, but it enables us for us to understand life. There is something powerful in the gospel that gives us the knowledge and the wisdom that we need to see life in a true sense, in the reality that we need to see it, which is from God's perspective. God gave an understanding to Asaph, and he is looking to give an understanding to us every time that we come together to worship the Lord. But the question is, what is that understanding that God has given to Asaph? First of all, and this leads me to my second point this afternoon, that God gave this understanding to Asaph of the end of the wicked. The second point we'll say this afternoon, that he was able to understand the end of the wicked and the glory of the saint or of the righteous. Look with me, verse 18. He says there, "Truly, you set them, the wicked, in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as panthers." You see, when Asaph entered in the presence of the Lord, when he gained God's eternal perspective of life, he understood what the present reality of the wicked was in light of eternity. This is what the Bible is saying, that the present prosperity of the wicked will not last till the end. At the end, that prosperity will be what? Destroyed. Brothers and sisters, our envy of the wicked today that creates suffering and distress in us, it is not a complete reality according to the truth of God's word. We know that we are going somewhere, that the end is coming for this world. And when Asaph understand what will be the end of this wicked, he came to the sense that God indeed is good, even if in his present situation he was suffering. Brothers and sisters, Asaph had a bad understanding at the beginning, thinking that all that it was with that wicked will remain forever. But that's not true. He was saying that this wicked, according to the verses 4 to 11, was scoffing to the Lord. They were actually addressing the Lord in their pride, and they will say, according to verse 11, how God known? Is there knowledge in the Most High? They thought that the Lord was passive. They thought that the Lord would not act in their lives in judgment. They were acting in their pride. But they forgot that what the Lord was doing was giving them time for them to repent. Was giving them time for them to repent. Because the Lord has promised that he will judge those that will stand against him. In the Bible, we see when Peter, writing in his letter to the church in Asia, he said that the Lord is not delaying as many people think that he's delaying, but he is giving time for people to repent. And this is what was happening with Asaph at that moment, with relation of the wicked. He came to the understanding that what God was doing was giving grace to the wicked for them to repent as he came into the sanctuary of the Lord and to worship him. Brothers and sisters, that's the invitation we have this afternoon once again. We need to live in light of eternity. We need to allow God's word to shape and form us, for us to understand the world in and through his eyes, not in and through our eyes. Everything that our heart desires in this world, as Asaph desires by seeing the life of this wicked person, the Bible says that will be destroyed. That everything that will remain will be only the things that are in our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we need to put our heart in. And we will see this in 2 weeks' time as we conclude these Psalms, that Asaph at the end understood that, and that was able then to understand the goodness and the character of God. And you see, he did not only understand what the end of the wicked will be, but he understood also what will be the end of the righteous. See with me over there from verse 23. I'm skipping verse 21 and 22 for us to discuss that in our concluding message in Psalm 73. See with me verse 23. He said, nevertheless, even during this time that I was bitter in my heart against you, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. So what we are seeing here is that when Asaph came to the sense of what the end of the wicked will be, he understood also what the end of the righteous will be. Why? Because he continued in the presence of the Lord, even when he, in his heart, didn't understand the problem of his suffering. Brothers and sisters, this verse talks about the grace of God upon our lives. This verse is speaking about the restraining grace and the restoring grace of God at work in our heart. You see, if you remember how Asaph could think about God, if we were in the place of God, we would say, if you don't care that I am good, then the door will be shut. I will not minister unto you anymore. But this is not the God of the Bible. Even in and through the suffering of Asaph, he was with him, walking with him, even when Asaph could not see. And what the grace of God did in his life? Two things. First of all, it restrained Asaph to completely give away your faith. Go with me and see again verse 2. The Bible says that Asaph is saying of himself, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my step had nearly slipped, meaning I was about to lose my faith. What was at work in the life of Asaph in this moment of doubt that didn't allow him to slip completely or to fall completely from his faith? It was the restraining grace of God. God was graceful unto him. Remember, Peter, and we will see that at the end of this message, when Satan came to ask for his life, what Jesus did say to Peter, "Peter, I have prayed for you so that your faith will not what? Faint. Your faith will not fail." Brothers and sisters, the Lord is alive today interceding for his church. That's why we are able, by his grace, to even overcome that doubt that is in us in the moment of suffering that tells us that God is not good. Our faith in him will not fail, not because we have decided not to fail, but because we have a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, an advocate before the throne of grace that is praying for us in the same way that he prayed for the faith of Peter not to fail, for Asaph not to fall completely of the faith. He is praying for you and me today, in order for our faith in him not to fail. And this is what was at work in him, in the life of Asaph, in this verse. Secondly, it was also a restoring grace at work in the life of Asaph. Like, what is the meaning of God holding his right hand? Is the Lord guiding and restoring Asaph into a place of faith, as we will see? This happened also with Peter. Peter, Jesus said that when you be restored, do what? Shepherd the flock. Shepherd the flock. Brothers and sisters, this is the grace of God that we have received in and through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the grace that the Lord has not available to them as long as they are rejecting our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have that grace available to us in and through our Lord Jesus Christ, even in our time, in our moment of suffering. You see, Asaph could sing with us also, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned and unclean." He was amazed of the grace of God at work in his life as he came into the presence of God and worshiped him. But what God is up to in the life of Asaph, in our lives as well, even in and through our suffering? See with me verse 24. That's another understanding. That's how he gained God's perspective, God's eternal perspective of the righteous now. He said that you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will do what? You will receive me into glory. Brothers and sisters, it is really very difficult for us to understand this. And I'm not here minimizing what you are going through. I'm not here minimizing the suffering that you are experiencing right now in your life. But if you paid attention to the reading that we made, a scripture reading this afternoon, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, I read, Paul is saying to the Corinthians church, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Why or how? As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Once again, the invitation that Asaph is giving us, or this passage in the struggle and the affliction of Asaph is given to us this afternoon, is for us to have God's eternal perspective at the end of the end of the wicked, and also of the glorious inheritance that we have in Him in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. But how do we do this? Brothers and sisters, the first thing is that our worship needs to be undivided. Our worship needs to be sincere. And we need to keep and seeking to know our God in and through His word and prayer for us to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Pastor John Piper, in one of his podcasts, he had said the following about believers spending more time in social media rather than reading God's word. He said that the time or social media will be a witness before God that we believers had sufficient time for us to read our Bibles. How are we seeking to know God with all our hearts? How are we desiring to know the Lord in order for us to have the right perspective of life, of what is happening in us, even when we don't understand? How are we to stand firm in the Lord when this world will bring sufferings in our lives? It's only if we have the clear revelation of who God is as we come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. You remember last message, or the first message, I started with the example of a six-year-old that struggles because mommy and dad decided to leave their home country and come to Abu Dhabi. And picture this, the six-year-old say, Mommy, why are you taking me away from my friends? And mommy said, this is for your good, my son, my daughter. No, I don't want to. I want to stay. You will understand this in the future, my son, my daughter. And you move anyhow. Is the struggle of that six-year-old a real struggle? Is that six-year-old suffering from leaving his friend and coming to Abu Dhabi and to make new friends? Yes, it is. But picture, after many years, this son or daughter even found the spouse in Abu Dhabi, got married, and then he's sitting with his children later on in life, telling now his children, look, what daddy and mommy did at that time was very difficult. But now I understand. At least I have met you, my spouse, and I have had my children. Brothers and sisters, this is us. in relation to our God. Our sufferings are true. Our sufferings are real. But God's goodness guarantees that that suffering, that moment, that challenge that we are having, it's preparing for us what? A glory that shall be revealed. I want to finish just picturing this thing in the life of Peter. Okay? You can just note down these two or four events in the life of Peter. The first one is in Mark chapter 4, 35 and 41. This is when Jesus, they were crossing the Sea of Galilee and the storm came. The disciples were with Jesus in the boat. You remember the story. And then when the storm started coming, they became what? Afraid, while Jesus was doing what? Sleeping. And the Bible says that their disciples, they came to Jesus and they say to Jesus, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" They were in a moment of conflict and suffering. And the first thing that happened in their life was doubting the care of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know what happened after that Jesus calmed the storm. Second event in the life of Peter. He said to Jesus Christ, "Even if everyone will deny you, I will not deny you." In Luke 22, verse 31 and 34. And Jesus came to him and said, "Satan has asked your life, but I have prayed for you, for your life, for your faith not to faint." And in the same story, or in the same chapter, it was the crucifixion day when Peter negated or denied knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ met with the eyes of Peter, and he remembered what Jesus told him. That meeting of the eyes was not a condemnation. That meeting of Jesus' eyes with Peter's eyes was Peter. "Nevertheless, I am going to the cross to die for your sins." And when he understood the grace of God, he was able now to sleep even when the world came to kill him in Acts chapter 12, verse 6. You know, James was arrested and then killed. And then Herod thought that it was good, and it took also Peter to kill him. But before the angel came to deliver Peter, what Peter was doing was sleeping. Why? Because he understood the grace of God at work in his life, that he is calling him for glory. He knew that the Lord is taking care of him even in his death. Why? In and through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end, the fourth event was when he was writing to the persecuted church in Asia in 1 Peter, in his first letter, chapter 5, verse 7. Do you remember what Peter said to them? Let's go there, and as we conclude, 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, sorry, 1 Peter chapter 5. I will read from verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." Verse 7 is the one that I want to concentrate. "Casting all your anxieties on him." Why? "Because he cares for you." At the beginning in Mark, they were asking, "Don't you care?" But the cross revealed to Peter that Jesus cares for him and for us, and was able to tell those that were passing through persecution and suffering, "You can cast all your anxiety unto Christ." Why? Because he cares for you. Brothers and sisters, this is the God that we have served and that we have come to believe. The Lord who is good and knows how to take care of his children. Will you believe in this? And will this perspective of the end of the wicked and also of the glory that will be revealed in our lives be our foothold as we go through this world of suffering and brokenness to the glory of God and to our complete joy in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we pray that you may open up our eyes for us to see you as you really are. We are weak, O Lord. But indeed, as Asaph did, we come into your sanctuary, Lord, because we believe in you, we believe in your word. We pray, O Lord, help our unbelief. We beseech you that your presence that is with us because of our Lord Jesus Christ will continue guarding our steps from falling away, O Lord, and guiding us even in the midst of the suffering that my brother and my sister is facing or will face in this life. Lord, may you reveal yourself unto us in and through your word and in and through the times that we seek you in prayer. That our heart's desire will be to know you. And just as Asaph was directed by your restoring grace to seek you in your sanctuary, we will seek you with all our heart and mind and strength so that we may gain, O Lord, your perspective in life and be at peace even when the storm is coming to our house, to our families, to our own very lives. Knowing, O Lord, that we can cast all our anxieties, all our worries and suffering unto you. Because indeed, you care for us. Because the cross has spoken. And because Jesus Christ, you are interceding for us every day. For us to be able to see you as you really are when you come back. May we long to see you. And that longing will be the drive force in us, O Lord, for us to continue pushing or resisting the temptation for us to doubt your goodness. Help us, O Lord, this afternoon for your name's sake and for your glory. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.